It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
The Culture Show, Dick Newman bringing the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Go through some scores from Wednesday. That's a long time ago, but some area scores anyway. The game you heard between the section or district best two teams, anyway, Mineola defeated Dawson Boyd. Scored first, and that was it for them, and the 34 points for Mineola. But they'll meet again, probably. Of course, Lacaparl picked up their first win, 36-10 over Yellow Medicine East. And when Tony walked in the door this morning, I said, I'm sure the team sang with enthusiasm the school song. You do that every game.
Yep, yeah, we do.
Some other area scores, Springfield all over Gibbon, Fairfax, Winthrop, 42-14. RTR shut out KMS, 42-0. Albany defeated Foley, 35-9. TMB, Tracy Milroy Belt, and 40. Bold, 12. Bold having kind of a bad year this year. Annadale over Jordan, they finished 8-0. 38-7. Morris area, Chukai, Alberta defeated New London Spicer 10-3. Renville County West picked up a big win over Mountain Lake area 48-8. Hillcrest Academy over Ortonville 57-0. Benson shut out Long Prairie in a slugfest 7-0. Murray County Central 49, Canby 7, and Lakeview defeated McRae 26-6. Well, that brings us up to our game on Wednesday. Tony Smith's in the studio, and big win by the score 36-10. Tony,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was much needed morale and all those things that go along with it when you haven't won a game yet, but I'll give our group credit, the practices, the attention to detail was still very good that week, and it showed when we got out there on Wednesday night. You talked about earlier in the week, or we looked earlier in the week, chance of rain, and then I don't know, earlier that Wednesday morning, not a chance of rain. Well, it started to rain there. And so the field was a little wet, and as the game went on, it continued to get a little bit muddier and muckier, and we had kind of made a decision that we were just going to try to grind it out on the ground, and that because that's where we've had our most success this year, and we most certainly did, get the scoring off real quick with. Gavin Mortensen with a 19-yard touchdown run. Two-point conversion was failed. And then Jace DeLean with a 2-yard touchdown run yet in the first quarter to make it 12-0. And then Gavin Mortensen to finish off the first quarter with an 18-yard touchdown run. So at the end of the first quarter, it was 18-0. We had done a very nice job of kind of working inside and outside with our run game. Defensively, we had done a nice job. They like to throw the ball a lot like Canby did the week before. But we were able to get a little bit of pressure, and obviously with the wet ball and the wet conditions. And we did a nice job on the back end of staying to our guy, staying in our area, as opposed to, they ran a couple of trick plays early, and they did not work out. And so we got off to a good start. In the second quarter, they were able to capitalize on a turnover and score to make the score 18-7. And then on the ensuing kickoff, Gavin Mortensen took it 90 yards for a kickoff return for a touchdown. And that kind of regained the momentum for us. It was one of those things where Gavin got to the middle of the field and then he broke it out to his right down our sideline, and we did a nice job of blocking where we needed to, and away he went. And then they were able to actually get a field goal just before half to make it 24-10 at halftime. Then coming out the third, at halftime we talked about it's not so much about the X's and O's here for us. It's about finishing. It's about making sure that we hang on to the ball. As the weather conditions got a little worse, the official came to me at halftime and said, I don't know if I've felt slicker footballs than what you guys are playing with right now. And so I dug in the bag and found two dry ones, and we checked those in. And so that really kind of calmed us down a little bit. In the third quarter, we were able to score again. In the third quarter, there was no scoring. But Jay Celine had a 12-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter to make it 30-10. And then Jax Wells had a 26-yard touchdown run to make it 36-10.
Okay. I know before we went on the air, you told us something that's really hard to believe. You did not officially throw a pass in the whole game.
We did not officially throw a pass. We were in the stats, 0-0 for 0 yards passing, 0 yards receiving. We did rush it 53 times for 310 yards. At our two-point conversions, we did try to throw it three times, but those don't count in the stats. So in the stat book, we're 0-0.
Wow. So your big boys up front certainly did their job on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, offensive line-wise, we had Elias Alonzo at left tackle, Gabe Lowry at left guard, Talon Kranz at center, Douglas Bruner at right guard, and then we had Matthew Sherman as our right tackle. And then it got to be some chances where we were doing a nice job of blocking on the edge, which made those plays a little bit longer, those runs. So they did a nice job. Kaysen Heineke filled in some at the both guard positions. So, yeah, those guys up front did a nice job for us. The ability for us to block on the edge, Jackson Fernals didn't have to make any decisions in the pass game, but he did make some nice decisions in the run game and getting the ball to Jace or keeping it and getting the ball on a pitch or what have you. So he did a nice job with those on Wednesday night.
Individually, some rushing statistics?
Yeah. Jace DeLean, 23 carries for 150 yards and two touchdowns. Gavin Mortensen had 6 carries for 70 yards and two touchdowns. Jax Wells had 5 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. Adrian Specht, who came in for Jace there in the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, 6 carries for 36. Gabe Lowry, 1 carry for 2 yards. Defensively, Gabe Lowry had 6 tackles, 6 assists. One of them was a tackle for loss. Jax Wells had 5 tackles, 2 assists. Gavin Mortensen had 4 tackles. Tucker Lyons had 3 tackles. And he also had 2 interceptions.
Oh, wow.
It got to the point where they just didn't even throw it to his side anymore. So he did a nice job there coming back off of injury. Talon Kranz, 2 tackles, 3 assists. Kaysen Heineke, 2 tackles, 2 assists. Matthew Sherman, 2 tackles, an assist. Nolan Smith with 2 tackles and 4 assists. Max Young with a tackle. Alex Nyans with a tackle. Elias Alonzo with a tackle and assist. Douglas Bruner with a tackle and 2 assists. Tanner Tilbury with a tackle. It was for loss. Nicholas Hoffman with an assist. And Ryan Bierke, who got in on the final kickoff for us, they fumbled it, and Ryan was crawling on the ground to hurry up and get the fumble recovery, and he did, lo and behold, and came up with the ball muddy and wet. But the roar of the guys for him for getting that was kind of fun to see. Like I said, Gavin had the kickoff return for the 90-yarder. I also want to make sure that I talk a little bit about Angel Mejia, who is our kickoff, is our kicker. And, you know, it's been some situations where he maybe hasn't executed it as well as he has wanted to this year. But the other night he did a great job of kicking it in the corners for us and shortened up the field. And with that slick ball, it started to take off on the grass, and so it caused them some trouble. So he did a nice job with that on Wednesday night.
Well, winning the game, and especially by that margin, turnovers have been your Achilles heel, but I think you still had more turnovers than they did.
Yeah, unfortunately we did. Some of those were on the snap, the center quarterback exchange, and I think a lot of it was just making sure that we were getting that ball, getting it dry in the second half was helpful, the two. And I suppose in hindsight people are going, well, why didn't you take those out sooner? Well, the problem is with that, we didn't check those in at the start of the game, so we weren't able to use those until halftime where we could check those two footballs in. So that's why we didn't. That's why we couldn't use those dry footballs until the second half.
Okay. Well, season ends in a hurry, and with seven teams in the district or section, whatever it's called. Every year it seems like it's called something different.
It's always something different. Keeps you on your toes.
But you know that Mineola gets a bye, but the other six teams will be playing. And has that been announced?
That has been announced, yes. Dawson is a two seed. They're going to play YME. Lakeview is the three seed, and we will be going to Lakeview on Tuesday night, which, you know, that was the second game of the year, and we are just kind of trying to figure out some things. Excuse me. At one point in time, late in the second quarter, it was 14-12. They were ahead. Then they had a long pass to make it, I believe it was 22-12 at halftime, and then they scored on their first play of the second half. So we were right in there in that first half again. The turnovers were our nemesis, but we got to, you know, we'll keep figuring out how to solve that problem. And then in the 4-5 game, the 4 is Canby, and they'll be hosting McRae. And like you said, Mineola has their first round bye.
So the first round is on Tuesday night.
First round is Tuesday night.
The winners?
The winners will play on Saturday. I believe most of them are playing Saturday afternoon at like 3 o'clock, I believe.
At the higher seed?
At the higher seed.
Okay, for both the rounds.
Yes. Yep.
Well, Lakeview has an artificial turf, so that's good depending on what the weather's going to be like. I think the forecast is pretty favorable. But
It did talk about, I actually looked it up yesterday, okay. Yeah, no rain or no precip, or so they say, but 20 to 30 mile an hour winds, which, hey, right now that's not really going to be much of an issue for us.
Speaking of the wind on Wednesday night, you had something happen that way too. Maybe your punter is a baseball player, huh?
Actually, no, he's not. We were punting I felt like the one time that they got a good defensive series against us, we went to punt it, and he went to drop the ball to kick it, and he swung and missed. And I asked him what happened. He goes, "Well, I went to kick it; it wasn't there." So
just
disappeared on me. So that's when they got the short field on their score. But you know, I also want to make sure that I mention the seniors senior night, and
yeah.
Those guys came out firing, and the rest of the crew came with them. And you know, that's really kind of how we want to take a look at the years going forward. Is that's kind of the mindset that we need to have. But those six seniors. Douglas Bruner, offensive and a defensive lineman. Talon Kranz has played center and played some linebacker and played some defensive line. Gabe Lowry, who has played some linebacker, has played fullback, has played kind of an H-back, has played offensive line this year for us. Who am I missing? Elias Alonzo has played some offensive and defensive line. Brant Schomer, who's played linebacker and some running back for us. Unfortunately, he got hurt last year, and he got hurt again this year. And then the sixth and final seniors, Nolan Smith, who's played some defensive back, has played some tight end, has played wide receiver for us. So congratulations to them. Look forward to seeing what they're going to be doing in the future here. And it's one of those things where you'd always like to have them one more year, but that's not how it works. Time goes on. You got to move forward. They're off to do bigger, better things.
Well, injury-wise?
Well, we're about as healthy as we can be at this point. Jace had to take a couple plays off. He's getting beat up a little bit, but he wants to be out there and wants to be playing with his guys. And so, no, we came out of that game very healthy, as healthy as we can be at this point in time.
Yeah, and, you got some kids that were out almost the whole season, and hopefully they can recover. And I don't know, some can maybe play a winter and a spring sports, and others may have to wait some time.
Well, kind of a look into the future here. I know that those guys are very, very motivated to get back and involved, all of them, in whatever sport that they are going to be competing in next. So they're very motivated to get themselves rehabbed and get themselves ready to go for whatever that is.
And bring their buddies with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, a couple of those games you look on the sideline and almost more coaches and players on the sideline because of injuries and,
yep.
and illnesses and whatever else. But, boy, you look at some of these other teams, they're three deep. And that your kids are going both ways and special teams and everything else. And they got to be in shape.
At times you talk to them before the game, in between quarters, and then on the bus. That's about the time you get to see them.
Okay. Well, junior high, did they play?
Nope. Their season was over here not last week. The week before. They had a very nice year. Good numbers. They, from what I had heard and what I had talked to the coaches, they seemed to enjoy what was going on. And thank you to Matt Carmody, Timothy White, and to Johnny Garibay for helping those guys. It's one of those things where with the numbers, we ended up having to cancel a couple of JV games, and I don't want to do that. We didn't want to do that, but it didn't work out. And we know that that's time lost for those kids, and those are reps that they're missing, and that's not fair and that's not right, but that's the situation that we were in, and we tried to make it work as best as we could. We also had that fifth and sixth grade tackle league. Cody Wagger and then Brian Sherman were coaching that, so thank you to those guys. Sound like they had a good experience. And then we had our flag football, our kindergarten through sixth grade. We had 80 kids signing up for that, and thank you to all the varsity players that came out and helped them and had some fun with those younger kids and interacting. And so, it was a fun fall of football.
Yeah. Okay, Tony. Thanks for the report. Great job. Congratulations once again. Best of luck on Tuesday. Paul Raymond and myself will be there. And cheer you on.
All right. Thank you.
Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break and talk cross country with John Sherb after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
This week's specials at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Beef back ribs, $5 a pound. Great North pizzas, just $6. Hamburger patties, 25% off. And Kip says plan ahead. Kip's taking whole deer during hunting season from 5 to 7 p.m. The Country Butcher in Dawson is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 1, and closed Sunday and Mondays.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's harvest time, and your friends at the Klein Agency in the Old National Bank Building, downtown Madison, would like to take a moment to pass along some farm safety reminders. Adjust equipment accordingly. This means keeping all guards, shields, and access doors in place when operating machinery and making necessary alterations to equipment to fit operational conditions. Maintain awareness. Stay focused. Be aware of what you're doing and where you're going. Avoid alcohol. Even one drink can affect your ability to operate machinery. Keep alcohol out of the picture until you're done for the day. These farm safety reminders going out your way from your friends at the Klein Agency, located in the Old National Bank Building, downtown Madison. See them for all of your insurance needs.
Okay. Back here at the station, John Cherbs on the phone because he's practicing right now for Thursday. What did you have this past week, John?
We had the conference meet last Tuesday at Lakeview.
Okay. Good results.
Yes. Kids ran really, really well. I mean, the conditions Tuesday was not the greatest conditions. Windy, cold, rain. I mean, it was not the greatest of conditions to have. But, you know, I thought our kids handled it well, got into it, and really, really ran well in a lot of spots and continued, you know, to continue what we've really done this last second half of the season, been really, really running well. They ran a junior high course, and that was a 2,300-meter course. Top runner there was Chelsea Clark. She was ninth at 9:03. Then we had Cambry Larson, 11th at 9:09. Skylar Stock at 12th at 9:10. Then we had Emerson Erdman at 16th at 9:28. Macy Clavin at 25th at 10:12. Ainsley Grunholz, 22nd at 9:53. And Cora Nelson at 30th at 12:25. Junior high boys are in the same thing. Uriah Specht was 10th at 8:28. Then Landon Skullrud was 23rd at 10:10. And really like the way these young kids have come along throughout this. You know, this is their last meet of the season, so they really have grown a lot. And hopefully this is going to build off that future, what we've got, and that'll be fun with them. JV girls ran the 5K course there. Alyssa Sawinski was our top runner. She was 3rd at 25:07. Micaiah Poos was 5th at 25:12. Jay Botham was 8th at 26:16. Quinn Larson was 13th at 29:10. JV boys, Kintar Sararo was our top runner, 6th at 21:31. Eddie Felton was 9th at 22:07. Varsity races going in, girls, we knew we had, you know, it was us and Canby were kind of going at it. We got them the last time. They beat us the first time. So, kind of seeing where we're running well on that spot. So we knew we needed to beat them at races and see what we've got. And girls really ran well. They put together. It wasn't, you know, we had a couple of not what I expected, but we still really ran well in spots. Our top runner there was Bryn Glegie. She was 3rd at 20:41. Chloe Glegie was 4th at 20:51. Laura Schreier was 8th at 21:30. Sadie Rosendahl was 11th at 21:46. Talia Hursom was 17th at 22:59. Harper Grunholz was 19th at 23:08. Morgan Anderson was 23rd at 23:46. Scoring-wise, we ended up winning with 38. Canby was second with 48. Prinsburg, 71. And McCray at 118. So, you know, really nice to get these girls a chance, a taste of a conference title. They haven't won, this crew has never got a conference title, which is nice to see them break into that. So, and top 10 were all conference, so we got 3 girls all conference, so that was really nice there. Boys, going in, we knew we had to run well a complete race, and that's our MO has not been, we have not been consistent. We'd run well in spots, it was just all 5, we could not seem to get all 5 run on the right page at the right time, and that just unfortunately bit us a little bit in the rear end a little bit there. We got beat up in a couple spots, we didn't run as well, the, you know, challenge the Canby, and then also Denson on that front side. But we still ran well. We got a couple kids all-conference. Tanner Callis was 5th at 18:08, and that's his second time all-conference. Colin Rosendahl was sixth at 18.09, and he got dinged in Fayette on Monday. Had stitches in his head, so I didn't know what he was going to run like. But he ran well enough to get in there. Didn't look as sharp, but he still ran well. So good thing we were able to get him back. At least he was able to compete there with that. Landon Keeman was 11th at 18.41. Just unfortunately missed all conference last year. He was 11th also. He kind of stuck with the bridesmaid 2 years in a row on there. Then we end up having Colden Heineke was 22nd at 19.23. Brody Nelson was 29th at 19.53. Matthew Boffin was 24th at 19.27. Aaron Will was 48th at 21.17. Scoring wise, Canby won it with 51. BKMS was 59. We were at 68. Hortonville 88. Lakeview 130. McCray 164. TMB 183. CMC 201. Wyoming 205. Then Border West at 266. So overall, like I said, I thought our kids really handled the conditions well. We always talk about why do we run in tough conditions. When it's raining, I said, that's why, because you just don't know what's going to happen in the season. So, but, girls are able to get the conference title back again, which is nice to see them win one that way. So that was good to see. Like I said, then we'll just kind of, boys, we're just a little short, and that's just the way it is. We'll work off that as we go.
Yeah. Well, that concludes your regular season. Then what's in store is Thursday, and we kind of go back and forth, north and south, every year for hosting that section tournament. And that's just varsity. So let's talk about it. We're hosting it at the golf course here in Madison.
Yeah, we've got that. It's a 4 o'clock start with the varsity boys race, and then they'll do the varsity girls at 4:40. They'll run that, and it will be a zoo out here. It's amazing how many people come to the section meet. It will be a jam. You will see a lot of people here. It's like I always told someone, if you get a drone and you could see the people move from a drone over the top, it would just be amazing. The wall of people moving left and right. It'll be a lot of people, and the parking will be, you get here early if you want to get a good parking spot, because you'll have to walk a little bit, or we're setting up some shuttles and things like that. So.
Right.
But we get to host that. Top two teams will qualify for the state meet, both boys and girls. And top seven individuals who are not on a qualifying team will also get in. So, boys, the first race, boys, it's going to be Redwood and Windham, I think, are going to be in the front side in the boys. And then after that, I just think we're just a little off of having a chance to get anybody in that top seven individually. Like I told the boys, I said, our goal is if we can finish top five, I'd really be happy, because since we rebuilt this team from, losing as many seniors as we've lost, and then we're running basically our 9-man roster, we got 6 freshmen on the roster. So that takes a little bit of experience-wise there. So that'll be kind of our goal. Can we do that? And we'll see what happens when we get into that race. We should do well in a lot of spots, and with Colin and Tanner on that front side will help a lot. So then the girls will come back at 4:40, run there. Same scenario, who qualifies. Redwoods, girls will be, they'll be pretty much the top, and then after that, it's going to be a dogfight. Springfield's girls are running well. Canby's girls, and us, that's what I see right now, and there could be a sleeper I don't know of, but what I've seen, that's probably going to be the top three qualifying for one spot. And we're right in the thick of things. It's not like someone's a distance way in front of a second. It's all really, really close, so it's going to come down to who can have a complete team to run there and to get in there. So, like I said, we'll see what we can do and see what these girls can handle that next level, and see what about being too nervous. But some kids like running at home, some kids like to travel, but it is what it is, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, and historically, the state tournament is pretty much dominated by Section 3.
Right, yeah, because last year on the boys' side, they went 1-2.
Wow.
They came out of section, they were first and second. And the girls-wise, what got out there was Redwood, I think, was second, if I remember right off the top of the board, too. So we do very well. What comes out of our section runs very well and competes at the state level at a very good level, too. So we're well represented.
And putting the cart before the horse, the state tournament is where?
It used to be at Northfield. It's been at the U of M golf course now for the last couple of years. This will be the last year it'll be at the golf course. Is it Bolstead Golf Course? It'll be the last time it'll be there, because
right.
The U of M has sold that, so they're looking for a new site. I have not heard where that's going to be, but That will be when we get that next rip. That's the kind of the next rotation to go. And hopefully, like I said, we can get through this, and then we can taste that next part of it.
That's right. So, okay, anything else?
No, it's like I said, this is the week I don't get too much sleep on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just trying to set the course. But it's, you know, we've got good support. You know, I'm really happy with the golf course allowing us doing and administration, a lot of help. And, you know, like, you've helped a lot with us over the years, too. So it helps. It makes my job a lot easier when I have people that we can trust to do stuff that it doesn't have to be. I have to look over everybody's shoulder. I can just say, hey, go get it. We're good. So.
And Paul Ramo will be out at the golf course and doing some broadcasting live. He'll do the awards ceremony live following the conclusion of the boys' race. And I don't know, maybe he'll run a lap or something too. But no, he's shaking his head. Writing in the results, maybe, and broadcasting. But however, he'll be there. And there's not too many radio stations that cover cross country, but he's done it forever. So, and he loves doing it. So best of luck, and we'll hear all about it live on Thursday and recap on the Saturday morning next week.
All right, perfect. Sounds good.
We'll take this break and have volleyball recap of this past week after this.
Section 3A volleyball action Monday night right here on Q92 as the La Caprile Valley Eagles travel to Granite Falls to take on the Yellow Medicine East Sting. 7 o'clock first serve. The winner moves on, the loser's done for the season. That's Section 3A volleyball action, La Caprile Valley at YME, Monday night, 7 o'clock right here on Q92.
Agriculture is one of Minnesota's most dangerous jobs. Farming is physically demanding, and long hours can take its toll on our bodies. That physical stress contributes to accidents and even death. It is important for farmers to follow some basic health guidelines when beginning fall field work. Get some sleep. Make sure to get enough sleep and rest to refresh the mind and body. Eat right and eat often. Don't rush. It may take an extra moment or two to walk down every step or double-check a piece of equipment, but that extra time may be a lifesaver. Don't cut corners when it comes to safety. These farm safety tips brought to you by our friends at Madison Bottling Company, Madison, Minnesota.
The family of Gerhard Plesner invite you to help celebrate his 90th birthday today from 2 to 4 at a come-and-go gathering with cake and coffee. It'll be held at their home at 319 3rd Street East in Madison. There'll be additional parking behind their place near the ball field. They've requested no gifts or cards, just well wishes. His actual birthday is on October 21st. Again, that party for Gerhard Plesner today from 2 to 4 at 319 3rd Street East in Madison. American Legion, Peden Coal Post 109, Gary, South Dakota, is holding their annual poultry party this evening starting at 7 o'clock at the Legion Dance Hall. Dance Hall bar will open at 6 o'clock. Get your boards and seats, then head over to the 109 Club for food and socializing at the hall. Be 15 rounds, $15, turkey or ham prizes, bingo. Also a $5 chance turkey and ham prize wheel. Be some raffles going on. And the 109 Supper Club will be open at 5:30. Come join the fun. That's at the American Legion, Peden Coal Post 109, Gary, South Dakota, their annual poultry parties this evening. The Milan Fire Department invites you to their fundraiser steak fries this evening from 5 to 9 at the Milan American Legion. $20 for a 10-ounce top sirloin, baked potato, coleslaw, garlic bread, coffee, and milk. They have a kids' meal of hot dog, chips, and milk for just $4, and everyone's welcome. And that's coming up this evening, 5 to 9, over at the Milan American Legion Club. Karen Freeman of Starbuck will be doing a presentation on the Restoration Voyage at 2 p.m. Sunday, October 19th at the Sons Norway building in Madison. The replica ship of the Restoration will land in New York Harbor on October 9th, exactly 200 years after the initial voyage arrived in New York. The first ship carried the first immigrants coming to America from Norway. This is sponsored by the local Sons of Norway Lodge. Everyone's encouraged to come. Pass the word and bring a friend. There will be coffee and treats served. Again, that's coming up on Sunday, October 19th at the Sons of Norway building, North Highway 75 in Madison. It's Saturday, October 18th. We say happy birthday today to Quinn Peterson, twins Melanie Miller and Madeline Klesk, Kimberly Kuchenmeister,
Carrie Mahoney, Mary DeVos and Canby, Pam Lehman, Glad Hasted, Cami Schoenfeld, Tammy Heinrich. Happy birthday Saturday to Jen Roth, Christy Fernholz, Lloyd Ricker, and Henry Roth. And on Sunday, happy birthday to Ashton Oy, Laura Menning, Mickey Thompson, and Haley Wolfslager. Hope you all have a great day and a super weekend.
Madison Healthcare Services salutes all the hardworking farmers out there, and they encourage safety on the farm. Stock a first aid kit. Keep it handy. Check your fire extinguisher, ideally tested twice a year. Sometimes it'll have power but not propellant, so make sure to fill it after each use. Avoid wearing loose clothing and jewelry that can get in the way of your job or worse, snag and injure you. A few farm safety tips for you from Madison Healthcare Services, proudly providing a variety of healthcare services to the Q92 listening area.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, October 17th through Monday, October 20th. In Theater One, it's The Senior. It's an American sports drama film based on the true story of Mike Flint, a 59-year-old who returns to college to finish his degree and play football for his alma mater. That's The Senior, rated PG, in Theater Number One. And in Theater Number Two, it's the hottest movie in the country, Tron: Ares, rated PG-13. That's Tron in Theater Number Two. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. And come on into the Grand at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon for a free movie. It's Robert Bly, A Thousand Years of Joy, part of the tribute to Robert Bly going on in Madison this week. And that movie at 1 o'clock, it's free on Saturday afternoon.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show on this MEA weekend. And we're going to chat with Amber Lee, head coach of the Lac La Brea Valley volleyball team. And good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, let's get our volleyball report. Of course, Amber's daughter Jalen plays college volleyball at Crown College, and since we started visiting with Amber, I always like to catch up and see what Jalen's doing. So how's Crown College doing volleyball?
They're doing all right. They played last Friday in Iowa, and they ended up losing that match, and they played last night in S.A. Bonifacius right there at Crown College against the University of Wisconsin, and they played tonight at the University of Northwestern.
Good.
And they're two tough teams coming up, and yeah, that's number one and two in their conference.
So. Do they start playoffs pretty soon?
They don't actually start playoffs till mid-November.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of volleyball to play yet then.
Yep, we do.
Okay.
But they do.
Good. It's always fun to follow the high school athletes after they graduate, especially when they go on to play college sports. Fun to follow them. And Jalen's having a great time, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She's really enjoying it.
Okay. All right. Well, the high school season wrapped up this week, regular season anyway, and the playoffs start on Monday. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So tell us how the Eagles did this past week.
We played KMS on Tuesday. We ended up losing. All the matches were close. 21-25 was our first one. 15-25 was our second one. And then our third one was 21-25. We just struggled on getting a consistent run of points together. But, you know, we still played some good volleyball, and we did a lot of good things, but there's just some things we need to clean up before we go into Monday.
Okay. All right. The sets were close, you said?
Yep.
Okay. Talk a little. You got some stats there in front of you, Amber?
Yep, I sure do. We'll start with some ace serves. Maya Mortensen had three. Maya Swatsky had two. And Peyton Sachs had one. Kills. Kaylee Kahn had a big night at the net. She had 13 kills. Abby Emlin had a really nice night, too. She had nine. Faith Meyer had three. Carson Whitnabel had two. And Marley Ludvigsen had one. We didn't have any blocks, at solo blocks anyways, and that kind of hurt us a little bit. Diggs, Ashton Shelstead led us with 23. Peyton Sachs had 10. Maya Mortensen had 7. Marley Ludvigsen had 7. Carson Waitenable had 6. Maya Swatsky had 6. And Abby Amlin had 5. Setting for the night, Maya Swatsky led us with 12. Marley Ludvigsen had 7. Ashton Shelstead had 2. And then we had several with one. Abby Amlin, Sophie Leah, Faith Meyer, and Carson Whitnable, and Callie Kahn each had one.
Okay. So let's talk about some of your players. They've seen a whole regular season now. You've first-year head coach, Amber. You've seen some improvement in your players, haven't you?
Yep, we have. Each game, they do different things, and, you know, you work on things in practice, and it's really fun to see them come into play on the court.
Callie Kahn seems to be getting a lot of touches lately, or a lot of kills.
Yeah, it's been really fun to see her get really aggressive at the net. She started off kind of quiet in the beginning of the season, but the last several games, she's really proven herself and showing what she can do up there.
And Callie wouldn't get the kills if the setters couldn't give her the ball. Let's talk about your setters, Amber.
That's exactly right. It takes a whole team effort. We have Maya Swatsky setting and Marley Ludvigson setting. And they both came long ways this year. Maya's first year setting was last year, and Marley's set for a couple of years now. But they work really well together, so.
Yeah, and you got an eighth grader in the back row, and Mortensen and Shellstead. Talk about them. They do a great job.
Yeah, Ashton surprises me every single game, like some of the balls that she gets to and stuff like that, and I just can't believe she can get to half of them that she does. She's getting really, really good at reading the hitters and finding the opening in the block and just positioning herself in the right spots on some of those attacks.
Yeah.
And Maya Mortensen she's got a beautiful dolphin dive, and she's a lot of fun to watch back there.
Right.
She takes the middle back, and so she has to cover the deep corners a lot of the time, which are not easy balls.
Right. Right, and I don't know, how many ace serves does she have this year? Quite a few.
Quite a few. She is leading the team in ace serves. She's got one wicked serve. It goes over the net, and it just kind of drops. It's very hard to receive.
Yep. She put a lot of time in, I heard, over the summer in volleyball. So.
Yeah, yep.
Talk about your seniors. What, is there four of them?
Yep, we have four seniors. Callie Kahn, Abby Amlin, Paisley Monroe, and Lindsay Ludvigson. Paisley hasn't been able to play because she's got some foot issues going on. So she's working on getting those taken care of. So she hasn't seen any court time this year. Lindsay Ludvigson is just a sweetheart to have. She hasn't seen a whole lot of court time, but she is a joy to have on the bench.
Okay.
Then Abby Amlin is our outside hitter, and Callie Kahn is our middle, and we've talked about them before. So,
that wrapped up your regular season. Are you surprised how fast it went?
I am. It went by really fast. You know, didn't think about it at the beginning of the season when you're starting in August for preseason and stuff, and now it's the middle of October and we're in the playoffs. So,
that's right.
Goes really fast.
Yep. And speaking of the playoffs, Section 3A playoffs start Monday. And I don't know if you got the bracket there, or you got to know who's what and where, but can you share us a little bit about the Section 3A tournament there, Amber?
We ended up getting the ninth seed. So we're going to play the eighth seed, who is YME. We play them on Monday, October 20th at YME. 7 p.m. start there, so hopefully we can get a good crowd there to cheer on the girls. Should be a fun, competitive game.
Yeah, I think during the regular season I was there and broadcasted that match, and it was pretty competitive. Two even teams there, I would say, huh?
Yeah, and that was still one of the games that we did not play our best at. So I'm really excited to see what we can do when we're playing some really good volleyball against them. We've also changed our rotation a little bit and our defense a little. And we really worked on covering the middle hits and outside hits, too. So I'm excited to see what the outcome will be on Monday.
All right. I'll be there. We'll be broadcasting that volleyball match Monday night from Yellow Messinese High School, and tip off at 7 o'clock. There's no JV games. It's just varsity, right?
Yep, just varsity. So it'd be one and done.
So it's, you win, you move on. And the winner, I think, gets the number one seed, Minnesota Vikings, on Friday, that next Friday, I think.
Yep, you're correct. The 24th, I believe.
Yeah. Now, the top four teams in the section there, Minnesota won. Two was Central Minnesota Christian. The third seed was McRae, and the fourth seed was Canby. And those are some four quality teams there, aren't there? Aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they are. You know, when they had sent out the seeding and we had to seed them, and I was a little, I didn't really know which way to go, because They're all very, very good. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Cambia earlier in the season did beat Mineota, and they ended up with the 4 seed. And
yep.
So I don't know. Them top four teams, it could go any which way. Whoever's on that day and really wants it more, I think, is where it's going to go.
Okay. All right. Well, Amber, thanks a lot for the report on the volleyball team, and we'll see you Monday night. And, you know, it's win or go home, and you want to win. So
that's for sure.
You want to play Friday then.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Amber.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Amber Lee, head coach of the Lac Pro Valley volleyball team, will be back after a word from our fine sponsors.
It's Section 4A football playoffs this Tuesday right here on Q92 as the Lac Pro Valley Eagles travel to Cottonwood to take on the Lakeview Lakers. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff Tuesday. That's Lac Pro Valley and Lakeview in Section 4A football. The winner moves on, the loser's done for the season. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock right here on Q92. Tune in. Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
The Western Guard in Madison stresses the importance of being careful on the farm. Be aware of what you're doing and where you're going. Adjust equipment accordingly. This means keeping all guard, shields, and access doors in place and operating equipment and making necessary alterations to equipment to fit operational conditions. Keep children and animals away from working areas. These tips going out for the Western Guard newspaper. Concerned about your safety on the farm at harvest time and all year long.
Back here at the studio, that will conclude our coaches show. Dr. Hacker on girls tennis is not available today. He will talk about the section individuals next week and wrap up the season next week on the coaches show. So things are winding down. Just about it's section time and seeing who will continue on with Paul will be busy all week long, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So lots of reports and live broadcasts there. So I guess I'll finish the program with traditional sick jokes of the week. Hey, Dad, look, I found a $20 bill in the pocket of my raincoat. Dad says, I guess you were saving it for a rainy day. I hate my job as a taxi driver because people are always talking behind me. And finally, Dad, I'm really sad that today is Monday. Me too, says Dad. On the bright side, though, 2 days ago, it was a Saturday. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a game. Play a sport to be one.
Great music for Montevideo, Benson, and Morris on Q92 KLQP-FM.
Control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days. and the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
Whatever is mine, I'm running down a dream.